You say you did it. I say you didn't. You say you worked hard. I say so did I. You say you worked hard. I say so did I. I say you got lucky. You say I didn't try. So you say it all worked. I say not for me. You say I didn't try. I say you just don't see why. You say I didn't try. I ask, can't you cry? You ask, why should I? I ask as I sigh. Why can't you see it? If we exist as I, too few will make it if we are only I. Folks, that's the whole question in life is how much do we care about others and how much do we sacrifice a little bit to make our world a better place? We're going to talk about all kinds of issues on this show. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse and WDIY, and I'm your host, Alan Jennings.
I run the Community Action Committee in Lehigh Valley, which takes me to all kinds of places. I poke my finger at a lot of different people, a lot of different things, and I end up in places like the Northampton County Council hearing room, where a council makes its decisions. I try to get a read on the elected people calling the shots. My read on Lamont McClure was that he was this grouchy guy on the dais who would grumble every once in a while, including at me. Together, we tackled the foreclosure problem following the collapse of the economy caused by abusive lending that was ripping off millions of homebuyers nationwide. It was a disastrous recession that was utterly avoidable. Lamont McClure was really the only local elected official who seemed to have much interest in the issue. So, Lamont runs for county exec. Didn't know what to make of it, but it didn't matter because I vote in Lehigh County. Lamont, of course, was going to win, so I better figure him out. I went to Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation's forum, candidates forum, where the two counties' county executive candidates were essentially debating. I heard Lamont say something like, "The only entity that's paying any attention to the Slate Belt is CACLV." I was like, "Wait, what did he say? Did he just say what I think I heard him say?" And I heard a couple of his speeches, and I thought, "Who is this guy, and what did he do with Lamont McClure?" So I bring you, loyal WDIY listeners of Lehigh Valley Discourse, Northampton County Executive Lamont McClure. Welcome, Lamont.
Well, Alan, I first just want to let you know your reputation preceded you in all those years that I sat on county council. And your reputation was an excellent one for helping folks who can't help themselves. And the whole reason that I'm in government is to stick up for the little guy.
That's
including
great.
The middle class, because the middle class is besieged. But that face you saw, that was just my resting face.
I've got a game face, too. Like, you'll never see a picture of me with me smiling because I don't want anybody to think I'm having fun, you know, trying to support people who are, you know, homeless and can't find enough money for food and so on. So
yes, and they're serious, sober issues. And that's how I always tried to approach my work on county council. And some people may have interpreted that as aloofness or being a little cold, but that wasn't the case at all. I always wanted to bring the level of seriousness to the discussion that I thought it warranted. And when someone like you is there talking about, remember, we were in the middle of a tremendous foreclosure crisis, and people were losing their homes every single day. And you and I both were very committed to try and do what we could in our little corner of the world. And I think we did.
Well, I want to tell you, if I put you on a spot and ask you to guess how many families we saved from foreclosure, I won't do that to you, but we saved 674 families from foreclosure. That's 674 families whose kids didn't go to school thinking their parents were losers. That's 674 families who are still paying their taxes. That's 674 families whose property didn't diminish the neighboring property values because it sat there rotting while the banks twiddled their thumbs on the foreclosure crisis. So the difference we made is significant, and I thank you for the leadership role you played in making that possible.
Well, I thank you, too.
Let's talk about Lamont McClure before he became county executive. You are one of, I don't know if you know this, but Pennsylvania has the highest percentage of residents who are born, live their whole lives, and die in Pennsylvania. It's pretty amazing. I can't be among that group because I was born in Hagerstown, Maryland, moved here when I was 2 years old, but I can at least say I was raised in Lehigh Valley. You were born, raised, and may well die in Pennsylvania as a Pennsylvanian. You went to Wilkes, was it college or Wilkes?
It's funny you say that. It was Wilkes College when I started.
Right.
And when I graduated, it was Wilkes University.
And you went to law school.
Duquesne
and got
in
a degree
Pittsburgh.
At Duquesne in Pittsburgh. I have the most important question of this interview. You worked for the owner of the Baltimore Orioles. I've been a diehard Orioles fan since I was a little kid. Having been born in Hagerstown, we'd go home and visit grandparents, aunts, and uncles, and I'd be watching Paul Blair and Boog Powell and Frank Robinson, and man, it was impossible not to be a fan. So I've been a season ticket holder for 25 years, ever since Camden Yard opened. But so here's the big question. Can't you get the guy to sell the damn team?
Well, as you know, since taking office in Northampton County, the Home Rule Charter prohibits me from having any other job.
Oh.
So I haven't been employed by the law offices of Peter Angelos for more than a year and a half. And let me tell you what I did there. When I was there, I represented folks who were exposed to asbestos, like former steelworkers. The vast majority of our clients were former steelworkers right here in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And they get the various diseases that you get from being exposed to asbestos, like mesothelioma, which is fatal in 18 months, lung cancer, which you get from a combination, it's called the synergistic effect, of being exposed to asbestos at work and smoking cigarettes, and then asbestosis, which generally causes a scarring of the lungs, which the vast majority of the folks had, that you know, when you go up steps and inclines and things like that, it causes you to become short of breath and it interferes with your daily activities of living. So that's what I did working for the law offices of Peter Angelos. And I can tell you, they never, ever asked any of the attorneys there what we thought about the baseball management.
All right. Well, I'll let you off the hook then.
Thanks.
You know, what's amazing about that kind of work that you did is that, you know, usually people who go to law school are the ones who didn't do math. And science type stuff, and to be able to speak the language of that scientific stuff is pretty impressive.
Well, I can't claim that I did well in math, but I did do my best to learn the science, because you do have to be able, for example, to cross-examine experts of the corporations who made this stuff and then didn't warn the guys who worked at Bethlehem Steel that they were being essentially poisoned.
Yeah.
And so it was my job to learn all that stuff. And I have to tell you, I did it for nearly 18 years. And if there are better people than who came and went through those gates of Bethlehem Steel here in Bethlehem, I don't know where they are. Huh. I mean, you have to realize these are World War II veterans, Korea veterans, Vietnam veterans. And then they come home and they work in the steel and they roll 85% of the Manhattan skyline.
Wow.
They built this country, salt of the earth, folks, and it was my deep honor for nearly 18 years to represent them.
And, you know, the asbestos problem at the steel is still here because, I mean, I'm getting phone calls from people who are totally freaked out about the Martin Tower implosion coming up because now, presumably, the asbestos has been removed, but people are still pretty freaked out about it. There's a forum coming up later tonight. On the issue and in the city here in Bethlehem. And, you know, so the problem still hasn't gone away.
Yeah, I'm not involved in that project at all. But my understanding from the city folks that I have spoken with is that the asbestos has been remediated from Martin Tower. And I do not believe the Department of Environmental Protection in the Commonwealth would allow them to bring it down if there would be a potential for a large exposure to the folks of asbestos.
You and I believe in government. I'm not sure everybody out there does, unfortunately. And so no matter how much we tell them, you know, don't freak, you know, folks are going to have their own views. So.
Understood.
You're listening to WDIY. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I have the pleasure of having Lamont McClure as my guest this evening. And, you know, I'm Alan Jennings, and I'm happy to have this opportunity to talk to people like Lamont, a true public servant, and a guy that I think we should all be proud to have serving us as county executive in Northampton County. So back to your bio, is there anything in your upbringing that was like a primary experience that formed your worldview? I mean, what is it that made you the Lamont McClure that we see as Northampton County executive?
Well, I think that... There are a combination of things. One, there's public service. I grew up in the household of a civil servant, and my mom was on a school board, and she was the president of the school board. So there, at our dinner table, I was raised, you know, from the very beginning with this notion that public service is a dignified profession.
Honorable, you bet.
It's honorable. And if you pursue it with integrity, you can help people make a difference in people's lives. That's not to say government has all the answers. And that's the other thing I learned growing up in my house. Government doesn't have all the answers. Sometimes we have to turn to private benevolence, charity. We have to turn, we do have to turn to the business community to help us solve. And you do that all the time. You work with the business community all the time to solve problems. So yeah, I would have to say growing up at my parents' dinner table is where my core values have come from.
Are your parents both still alive?
My dad is deceased. He passed a few years ago from pancreatic cancer, and my mom still is, yes.
Have you ever told her how much you appreciate the difference she made? Because, I think parents don't often understand. I mean, I've got kids, and I watch them for the same values to see if they picked up the stuff that I tried to push. And it's the kind of thing that makes you real proud to see somebody speak to those issues in the same way you did.
Right? I was fortunate with my late dad. We had a terrific relationship in adulthood. You know, it was sort of that Twain thing, 7, yeah. 14, and 21. Yeah. I started realizing how much he knew after I turned 21 and beyond. And then we had a tremendous relationship, and we were very open and frank with one another. And before he passed, if you don't mind me giving you too much information, we golfed together quite a bit, and we were on a trip, and it wasn't long before he died. And we had the opportunity to have a conversation about it. And I said to him, you know, Dad, I don't feel like I have anything unsaid to you. And he said, you know what, I don't either. And it was really, it gave me strength when he passed.
Huh. Let me give you an opportunity to brag about what you've accomplished. You know, what are you proud of that you've done so far? You've only been in office for a few, what is it now? How long have you been county executive?
It's about a year and 5 months now.
Okay, yep. So you're moving in on your second year. What are you proud of? What do you think is worthy of bragging about? I think people ought to be able to brag.
Well, I think there are so many things we're proud of, but one of the things that I like to talk about is I believe government can really make a difference in people's lives.
Yeah.
And we spent the beginning of this interview talking about that. But I also think there's a balance, because there's lots of folks out there in Northampton County, for instance, living on fixed incomes, trying to stay in their homes, paying their real estate property taxes. So we're balancing the interests of protecting the folks in human services, for example, children and youth, area agency on aging, the folks who have mental handicaps that need our help, the MHMR folks, balancing the need to protect those people who cannot protect themselves with the interests of the taxpayer. So one of the things that I was really proud of is we've been able to get through for the first year and 5 months without raising real estate property taxes in Northampton County, and I am really proud of that.
That's a good one. You know, it raises the question of the public service union. You and I are both very pro-labor, but I think a lot of people are less so when it comes to public employee unions, because the tycoon, if you will, is voters, many of whom are struggling more than the workers that the union represents. It's a tougher balance. How's your relationship with your public employee unions?
Well, we in Northampton County, we value our employees. And of course, you rightly indicate that I am very pro-labor, but I have a balancing act. I have to protect these folks on these fixed incomes. I'm really talking about our senior citizens all over Northampton County,
right,
who are still paying property taxes. I have to balance their interests with rewarding the dignity of the work that folks do. Remember what our folks do. They're human services. They're some young woman, 24 years old, not too long out of school, is going into an unfamiliar neighborhood in the middle of the night to take a child from somebody's home because that home is violent. We have nurses at Graysdale caring for our loved ones around the clock. We have folks working in our prisons, corrections officers, our deputy sheriffs serving warrants, all very difficult, demanding physically, mentally, emotionally, and sometimes dangerous work. So they need to be compensated at a level that recognizes that, right?
Right.
But we also have to always be balancing that with our taxpayers' interests, because we don't want to soak our taxpayer, because remember what our general fund is funded with. It's funded with property taxes.
Right.
It's not like it's a gas tax or an income tax. Right. It's real estate property tax.
Right.
And as you know, Alan, that was once the great progressive tax.
Right.
It's because wealthy people owned homes.
Exactly.
Right.
They're the ones with the assets.
But after World War II and the democratization of home ownership, that's not true anymore.
Right.
And so we really always have to balance those interests. And that's what I'm thinking. So, but to get back to your original question, I have a great relationship with our unions. They're represented by AFSCME. They're represented by SEIU, PSSU. We have the Deputy Sheriff's Association, and we have good relationships with all of those unions. And as a matter of fact, we have, in the last year, settled 8 contracts, which is really phenomenal.
That is.
Which has balanced the interests of the working folks in Northampton County and taxpayers. So we're really pleased with that.
The Grace Packer story was one of the most hideous things I've ever watched, and I felt so badly for the children and youth people. I know how desperately underfunded that office is. I know how much stress they're under. I know what kinds of misery they see and get in the middle of. Was there anything about that story? And thankfully, it was not a Lehigh or Northampton County children and youth office. But is there anything about that story that changed anything the way county services get provided?
Yes. So after that, and please understand, due to state law, there are many aspects of the story that we can't talk about, including, you know, the investigation that took place afterwards and some of the things that happened thereafter. And you make a very good point. Northampton County had no knowledge of her crimes, no knowledge of her past wrongdoing. It may be a circumstance in the future where the counties will be able to share this information, because if the counties were able to share this information, which they're not at this time, state law prohibits the counties from sharing this information.
Which means defending yourselves against accusations from, you know, rogue reporters and commenters and all that.
Well, look, I don't describe. I'm a big fan of the media. I think in a democracy, there's pretty much no such thing as a rogue reporter. So I gently want to disagree with that. I think that even when the media and sometimes bloggers
write
harsh stories about us, it's still good because they're shining a light on what government does. And I think that's so important.
Oh, good for you. You're listening to WDIY. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest this evening is Lamont McClure, Northampton County Executive. And stick around. We're going to take a quick break, and we hope you be back to continue to listen to Lamont McClure.
WDIY runs on volunteer spirit. If you have an interest in becoming part of the volunteer team that keeps us up and running, let us know. There are opportunities in administration, special events staffing, fundraising, network or music programming, and more. Please visit our website, wdiy.org, and click on support. Follow the drop-down menu to volunteer for more information. Thanks.
Welcome back. This is Alan Jennings. I've got Lamont McClure with me, Northampton County Executive. You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. So has there been anything that's happened since you've been county executive that's made you rethink, you know, lifelong opinions or dogma or whatever? I mean, you know, what I've always said is that our ideology is only as useful as its practical application, which keeps me moderated. You know, trying to solve problems takes, you know, listening to people you don't agree with and trying to find common ground and so on. Is there anything that's changed your views that you've had to deal with as a county executive, or you're still good?
I wouldn't say changed my views, but maybe soften the edges a little bit. So I'm a Democrat and a very proud one, but
so am I.
I don't believe that government has every answer to every problem, or has, even if it has an answer, has all the answer. I think that we need to work with private capital, private business, private corporations in some circumstances. And I think we need to work with private givers, private charity, private organizations. And one of the things that as I get to go around Northampton County, I'm finding out how generous our people are. I mean, I knew it, but I'm seeing it firsthand. And what I'm seeing, Alan, the generosity filling the gaps that government can't reach, the churches, the fraternal organizations, it is just really amazing to me how many generous people, not only with their money, but with their time, with their bodies,
their expertise.
The big blood donor givers. I mean, everywhere I go in this community, I'm finding private citizens who are filling gaps that government either can't meet or never will meet. And that's the one thing that I'm sort of most impressed by, actually being in the room with these folks and hearing their stories. And I now know that saying that government doesn't have all the answers is in fact the right philosophy.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I've very deliberately diversified our budget. And, you know, in 1982, when I came to CACLV, our entire budget was publicly funded. Today, we're 50 times the size budget-wise as we were then, and only 20% of our funding comes from government sources. And that's a real tribute to the good people that you're talking about. And so that's good to hear. Governing, is it easier? Is it harder than you expected? How are you doing with the process of governing?
I wouldn't characterize it as harder or easier. I was very well prepared for the job I have. It's really the only political job I ever wanted.
It was my primary political ambition
to be county executive of Northampton County. The fact of the matter is I had nearly a decade of experience on Northampton County Council. So I knew generally what the issues were. I knew all of the career service players. Those are the sort of civil service folks who work for the county. I knew them. I knew how they think about issues. I had a game plan for when I was going through the transition period. I think I was the first county executive to ever put a transition team together. And that transition team had about 200 years of county government experience. Wow. And that helped me be able to have my cabinet hitting the ground running on day one. And I didn't just hire anybody. As my director of administration, for example, I have Charles Dirtinger. Charles was a member of county council. He had been chairman of the elections commission. He is chairman of the Washington Township Planning Commission, has been there for more than, I think, 20 years now. He is in construction management, and he worked in construction management in New York City. So he's a substantial
fellow. Don't forget he was on the board of CACLV.
Right, and he was on the board of CACLV, and Charles Allen always speaks very highly of you and the work you do in the community.
Well, he does good.
I hired Steve Barron. Steve Barron was the three-time elected county controller of Northampton County in contested elections. I can't remember the last Northampton County elected official who won three consecutive contested elected races. And Steve did a great job as the controller of Northampton County watching the finances. He's now my director of fiscal affairs. So we were really prepared. I also had the opportunity to fill two positions, county solicitor. Melissa Rudis is the Northampton County solicitor. It's the first time a woman has ever held that job. We've been around since 1752, and my administration is the first time a woman was the chief legal officer of the county administration. And I hired Nerea DeLuzio to be our first chief public defender. Again, the first time in Northampton County's history where a woman held the highest position in the public defender's office. So I was really, and I could talk about all of them like this, but I know we don't have the time. We have a tremendous cabinet. And I think if it's easier for me to govern, it's because of the great people I hired. I'll give you another example, Ken Brown.
I was just going to say,
Ken Brown is so exciting.
And Tina Smith.
Yeah. Oh, well, Tina. Yeah, we could talk about them all. I mean, Tina is.
I could have each of them on my show. It'd be good.
She's driving the Department of Community and Economic Development with an emphasis on the community development like I've never seen in my association with county government. She's tremendous. Ken Brown is doing a great job in the courthouse, being our liaison between us and the court system, which, as you know, it's a big part of what we do in county government, provide for the court system.
Right, and pay for it.
Right, it will pay for it. That's the big part. And then You know, we have Sue Wondolowski, who's our director of human services, who's just doing a tremendous job sticking up for the little guy and gal, the people who can't defend themselves. Sue's there like a tiger's fighting for them every day. So we're just so fortunate that that we have all these terrific people.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm Alan Jennings. I'm your host. I've got Lamont McClure with me in the studio. And we're talking about Northampton County governance and politics. And let me ask you, I've noticed it seems to me that you've used the power of appointment to shift some quasi-public authorities in different directions. Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, the General Purpose Authority. I think Lehigh Valley International Airport, you've made some adjustments there. Is that getting the results that you were hoping for? And because I think it's been pretty bold in this couple of cases.
So what you're talking about here, Alan, is these regional or bi-county arrangements that we have here in the Lehigh Valley. And let me first say, regionalism is critical to the success of Lehigh and Northampton County. And on a day-to-day basis, the county governments, the Lehigh County government and the Northampton County government, we work together in a myriad of ways. It's my opinion that Lehigh County and Northampton County couldn't function without each other on a day-to-day basis, whether it's the prisons, human services, the coroner's offices.
Community development.
We have interaction every day. And County Executive Armstrong and I have a great relationship. And it wasn't always the case in the past that our predecessors had the best of communication. Phil and I talk a lot. And we're usually on the same page. Now, so we have all these bi-county arrangements. But I noticed when I was on Northampton County Council, and if you'll indulge me, I'll tell a little story.
Sure.
Wayne Grubin and Ron Angle.
I remember them.
Wayne was a famous football coach and a Democrat.
Yeah.
And a strong Democrat.
Yeah.
And Ron Angle is, as you know, a Republican. And
Ron Angle.
But these were two strong-willed men that did not like one another at all. But they agreed on this principle. In these bi-county relationships where Lehigh County pays 50% and Northampton County pays 50%, Northampton County should get 50% of the benefits of the relationships. And we never did. Historically, we were always on the short end of these relationships. So when I came in, the point I wanted to make was I value regionalism, but regionalism has to be a two-way street.
Right.
The majority of the benefits cannot flow to Lehigh County when we're paying half of the bills. So it's actually about fairness, and I don't even want one-to-one equity. For example, Allentown, that's our biggest municipality in the valley, and they may need a little more land to bus service. But let's talk about Lana for a minute because I think it's the most dramatic example. We pay half of the bills. Lehigh County pays half of the bills. Lehigh County gets 60% of the services. Hmm. We get less than 40. It's 39 and change.
Wow.
So I've been reaching out and working. And to his eternal credit, Owen O'Neill has been working. He's the executive director at Atlanta.
Yeah.
He's been working with me. And I think he understands that I know that it may never be a one-to-one ratio because there's slightly more people in Lehigh County. Right. There's that. But we need to be closer to parity. And he's working with me on issues where they might not be the most efficient routes, but he's helping me. For example, we need a bus stop at our work release facility. So, you know, in West Easton. So our folks who are incarcerated in the work release facility, but who go out during the day to go to work, aren't walking through the neighbor's backyard on their way back to prison, right?
Right.
So if we had a bus stop there, they could be dropped off right at the facility. And for years and years and years, we tried to get one. Now we're getting one because I'm raising this issue of equity with Owen, Atlanta. Additionally, Graysdale. We have over 600 people who work there, but we didn't have a bus stop that could get people to and from Graysdale.
Really?
It's a 24-hour operation, three shifts.
Wow.
Atlanta's now doing that with us, and they're extending their flex service through the entire Slate Belt where they weren't before. So my advocacy for equity in these bi-county relationships is really we're seeing results for the people of Northampton County, and we're not giving up on regionalism.
You know, it's funny. My next topic was the Slate Belt. You just brought it up. Slight belt, 10 municipalities, four of which are townships, six, I think, are boroughs that are struggling. You know, boroughs in Pennsylvania have the same pressures that our cities have, but they're just on a smaller scale and often, frankly, less resources to tap from other places. You talked about the Slate Belt in your campaign. I think you won the Slate Belt in the election.
I didn't, no.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. But, you know, I won in places like Lower Mount Bethel, for example.
Okay.
But that was probably around the sludge issue, which is a different issue. I'm opposed to the spreading of so-called biosolids. But let me tell you this. First of all, thank you on behalf of Northampton County and the Slate Belt for your work with CACLV and the Rising Tide Fund.
Well, thanks for that.
And maybe you could tell folks about that, and because we're partnering with you there to try and make a difference in the Slate Belt. And why are we doing that? We're doing that because in the next 10 years, the Slate Belt is the region in the Lehigh Valley, the entire Lehigh Valley, that's going to grow economically. And we need to be prepared to get those folks who have been underserved up there served.
Well, and our last show that we did was on Slate Belt Rising and the Slate Belt. So we had that conversation. And I thank you for the county's support for the effort, because you've actually been the biggest funder. So thanks for that. Mark Hartney and Tina Smith have done a terrific job, and we're going to keep doing the best we can to make that place give that place the opportunity to be what it knows it can be.
Well, let me tell you about Rising Tide, though, and what I think you and CACLV is bringing to it. And I don't want this to be a mutual admiration society here, but I'm telling you this as a point of fact. If it weren't for your involvement, this wouldn't be happening in the way it's happening, with getting all these folks on the same page to understand. You personally, and the organization you work for, has the kind of street credibility, if you will, to bring people together in a way that even the county could. Yeah, you need our money, that's for sure. But these are our people. It's our responsibility to kick in. But without your street credibility, this wouldn't be happening, and I know that in my bones.
I appreciate that, Lamont, very much. That's Northampton County, 19 boroughs, 17 townships. I think I counted 27 police departments. That's very comparable to other counties in Pennsylvania. It can't possibly be the most efficient way of delivering services. When we talk about regionalism, do you take that to the level of consolidating services between municipalities so they can get the savings that come with the more critical mass? Or what are you thinking about governance in the modern day?
Well, I mean, I certainly have my own personal opinions on this, but fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your perspective, this really is because of the way Pennsylvania, as you know, the way Pennsylvania government is set up, the police departments aren't really our responsibility.
Right.
The county doesn't have responsibility for policing. That's a municipal responsibility. So
right.
We've got enough on our plate with a nursing home, a prison, providing human services and providing for the judges at the courthouse. So I really don't get into the whole issue of policing.
Let's talk about warehouses. As an economic development issue, it is apparent that we are the target, it appears, of every distribution center on the planet. You've talked about open space preservation as a priority, and you've done good on that issue. What are we going to do to try to get a grip on the warehouses? Just they're paving over paradise, and where do you stand on that one?
So in Northampton County, we don't want any more warehouses.
Yeah, good
but,
for you.
But you know, we're also realistic. We know that is not that's not going to happen. That just say no attitude won't get us anywhere.
Right.
What we can do, though, is direct them, the warehouses, to where they belong, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's along the 412 corridor,
right,
where there are others now, and there's ready access to 78 in Schrinn, which is right off of 33,
right,
so that they can get to 78 and 80 without coming through any towns. And if we ever get the Lerda site in Upper Mount Bethel Township, they can go there too. But otherwise, we don't want you taking up any more of our farmland. And in Northampton County, we're really aggressive in preserving farmland, preserving open space and environmentally sensitive land. We're about to preserve our 200th farm this fall. I have a goal of preserving another 10 to 12,000 acres of farmland before I'm done as county executive. And we're doing great work on trails and open space. And we've got some tremendous projects in the one of the things I said when I was running for county executive, I was on council for about 10 years. I voted to preserve more farmland, open space, and environmentally sensitive land than anybody else in the history of Northampton County. And as county executive, I intend to keep being very aggressive when it comes to doing that. Because that's the thing county government can do. Northampton County's future can be greener, which is what I've been saying, if I preserve as much farmland, open space, and environmentally sensitive land as I can while I'm here. That's really what we can do at the county level.
That's great stuff, and I was involved in the Green Future Fund. CACLV actually organized that whole thing. We took a deliberate backseat because I didn't want anybody to say, "Well, I'm not going to support that because that communist, you know, Jennings is behind it." But so that was pretty sneaky on our part.
and again, good work. And you know, you in so many things throughout the Lehigh Valley, the CACLV's fingerprints can be found.
I appreciate that. You're listening to WDIY. Actually, the show is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY. This is Lehigh Valley Public Radio, and I am having the pleasure of interviewing Lamont McClure this evening. He is the Northampton County Executive, and I hope you'll stick around. We have another segment to go. Let's take a short break.
Not only is becoming a WDIY member a great way to support the programs you love, it has its benefits. WDIY members have access to our weekly member ticket giveaway emails. Discover great concerts, theater performances, film screenings, and more, all while supporting the many choices and real voices on WDIY. Make your gift today at 610-694-8100 extension 7 or wdiy.org. Thank you.
Okay, welcome back. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. I have Lamont McClure, the Northampton County Executive, in the studio with me, and I'm lucky to have that. Let's play a game I call Either Or. I'm going to give you two sides of various issues, and I'd be interested in your perspective on which one you would side with. These tend to be protagonist-antagonist situations. So, Graysdale, private or public?
Oh, it's our moral obligation to keep it publicly owned.
Open space or warehouses?
Open space, of course.
Affordable housing or not in my backyard?
Affordable housing. There's a way to do it that brings homes to folks who otherwise couldn't afford them with dignity without upsetting neighborhoods.
Tax increase or service cuts?
It depends. I would probably try and cut services first just because I'm concerned about all those. Because of the way we fund county government, it's funded with real estate property tax, and I wouldn't want to drive some family in Northampton borough out of their home before I looked at eliminating all the waste I could if there were.
That's always a tough one for us Democrats because, Republicans will say, service cuts, right? I mean, they don't even have to think about it. We know that's what they're going to say. People on the more progressive side of the table don't want to be thought of as flagrant spenders. On the other hand, we also have to recognize people have to struggle to pay their taxes.
I'll eliminate a program if it's expensive and not working. I'm not afraid to do that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I've done it in my career.
Joe Biden or anyone else?
Right now, considering the entire field, but I like Kamala Harris.
I was going to say Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, believe it or not.
I like Kamala Harris a lot.
I'm with you, man. I think, and I like this guy from South Bend, but I don't think he pulls it off. But Kamala Harris, she's got some gravitas, I think, is...
What I like about her is...
prosecutor, right?
If I could tell you, be a little personal here.
Yeah.
My wife is an assistant district attorney in Northampton County, and she runs the DUI unit. And so I have a sense of how tough-minded you have to be to be a woman in this profession, even in this day and age.
Yeah.
And that gives me confidence that Senator Harris, she was an assistant DA in Alameda County. That's Oakland.
Yeah.
She was the DA in San Francisco, and then she was the attorney general of a state that would be the 17th largest economy in the world if it was its own country, right?
Yeah.
So she has the tough-mindedness and the executive experience necessary to work with our allies in Europe, for example, who have been alienated, and to be hard-nosed with our enemies like North Korea and Russia. So she's got that toughness that we need in a president. But as a senator, she's had a pretty progressive record. And I know in my bones that she would concentrate on fighting for the middle class, because that's who's been ignored in all this, the middle class. You know, we as Democrats do a fairly good job at protecting the folks in our society who are defenseless. Mm-hmm. We do. We do a pretty good job at that. But, you know, we've sort of lost our way a little bit. With respect to protecting the middle class as well. It doesn't have to be an either-or thing. And I think Senator Harris will focus on the middle class.
The Da Vinci Center is Project in Easton, yes or no?
Yes.
Charles Dirtinger or General John Kelly?
Charles Dirtinger, of course.
That was an easy one. Donald Trump or anyone else?
Well, anyone else.
Yeah.
You know,
scary, isn't it?
The president's not done a good job, to say the least.
More jobs or higher minimum wage?
I think that's a false choice. I think in the short run, a higher minimum wage may cause a little bit of retraction in jobs, but over the long term, it's been demonstrated that a higher minimum wage not only will improve people's lives, but jobs will increase. Those jobs will come back that are lost in the short term. And there'll be even more jobs. So it's a false choice, but I would, if we lived in a universe where it was one or the other, I'd say higher minimum wage.
Sports fans, I want you to know that I did not consult with Lamont before we had this conversation, but I agree with, I think, just about every call that Lamont made on my either-or game. Okay, election machines. Tough one. I think the nation's democracy is at risk, and I think the Russians showed that pretty plainly. Bush v. Gore was a disaster. You guys are being required to replace your election machines, and so where are you with that?
Oh, so that's a great. There's so many layers to this that we could talk about, but remember, Gore v. Bush, the problem in Florida was in Palm Beach County and some of the other counties in that neck of the woods that were controlled by Democrats. And it was a poorly designed ballot. And that was a hand-marked ballot.
With chads.
Yeah. So that led to an electoral disaster. But, yeah, the state has mandated that we move to a paper-back system. And so in Northampton County, we're really excited. Our elections commission has chosen the ESNS XL machine. It is a machine where you have a full face ballot, very much like the ones we vote on right now, which people like and are very comfortable with. And the important thing about the ESNS XL machine is it's ADA compliant. None of the other hand mark systems are ADA compliant. So you can have up to a third of folks who are voting in an election with some kind of disability, and this ESNS XL machine is really great for those folks with disabilities. But even more to the point, the machine marks the ballot for you, and then you see it. You see the actual paper ballot. You don't get a copy of it, but you see it, and you can see who you voted for. So if you didn't vote for those people or didn't want to vote for those people, you could redo your ballot. Mm. But if that's your ballot, you press vote, and it goes into a sealed container. Now, the beauty of this system is you can match what the machine counts with the printed ballot. So what we're going to do is we're going to do audits after every election to make sure what's on the machine matches the paper ballots. And there are experts. The leading expert in the country says our machine, ESNS XL, is more secure than the hand-marked paper ballots. So that's really great, as long as we do the audits afterwards, and we're going to do that. And so our machine, the one we've chosen, is more secure than hand-marked paper ballots, and it's better for folks with disabilities. So that's what we're really excited about.
One of the refreshing things about you is that you aren't afraid to show your sensitivity to the needs of those in our society who we seem all too willing to leave behind. And you've commented in a number of cases. Why don't more elected officials speak out on this? In my mind, the only issue that might be more demanding of government intervention is climate change. So why do you have the guts to speak out on behalf of those we leave behind, and so few others do?
Because, you know, so through public service, that's really my one way to give back, if you will. And by that, I don't mean give back other people's money. I mean, it gives me the opportunity to talk about important issues and sometimes with public policy affect what we do. So you're talking about climate change. I'm having a climate change summit at Lehigh University on May 15th.
Oh, yeah.
It's open to the public. It's at Iacocca. Anybody who wants to come, please come May 15th, Iacocca. We're starting first thing in the morning, 8:30 a.m. We'd love to have folks there. But so I'm doing that. I'm talking about climate change, but I'm actually living the word, right? I'm building a new forensic center in Northampton County because our current coroner's office is a house of horrors. It actually has a hell mouth in it. I mean, it's just a disaster. Huh. And we need to do something about that. And I'm taking that bull by the horns, but I'm powering it with the sun. It's going to have a solar roof.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I'm not building anything if it doesn't have a renewable energy component to it. Also, we're involved in the second small-scale hydropower plant in the country. Hopefully it's going to come to Easton, to Hugh Moore Park. We are matching a state grant of approximately $1.4 million to bring low-scale hydroelectric power. It's fish-friendly. It won't hurt the fish. It can power up to 400 homes. It's entirely renewable. So I know this isn't going to change anything. It's not going to save one polar bear, and I'm not trying to be funny. But if we do what we can in our own little part of the world and everybody else starts doing that, before you know it, it's going to add up to something. So that's what my legacy is going to be. When I'm done, I will be able to look back and say, I tried to use the government to make people's lives better in a taxpayer-responsible way.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight is Lamont McClure, Northampton County Executive. You talked in a kind of bullish way about the Lehigh Valley, and I think the Lehigh Valley is probably more upbeat about itself these days than I ever remember. It sounds to me like you think that's justified, that we are a community that has every good right to feel good about where we're going and where we are and all. Is that fair?
What a great place to live and work in the Lehigh Valley. And I think it's incumbent upon folks like us, Alan, to make sure we preserve that way of life. And again, all things in moderation. We need to find a balance between job growth, which we absolutely need. We're near full employment now.
Yeah.
It's easy for us to have these conversations about warehouses and open space and hydroelectric plants when everybody's working. But if unemployment is at 6% and 7%, that becomes way more of the focus. So I'm not one of these guys who doesn't want any development. I want Don Cunningham, who does a great job. He's my friend at the Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation. I want him to bring me manufacturers and light manufacturers and even some packaging. I'd take that. But I just don't want these fulfillment centers. I don't want these warehouses. I want jobs that pay. You could send your kid to school. I want jobs. Yeah. You can keep your roof over you. I want good paying jobs. I don't want your wife to have to work two jobs.
Right.
That's, you know, one's enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the same boat with you are. You know, I consider Don to be a friend, and I feel bad watching and listening to him defend, if you will, or even promote the idea that warehouses are good for the Lehigh Valley economy. I think
I think it's, you know, it used to be that you measured those things by square footage. Now you measure them by the trip odometer on your car. You can go, I mean, a couple of these buildings are like a quarter mile long. Man, that's a lot of open space to be taken. And then they pave over the, you know, for the parking lot and so on. So I'm with you on that. So you got elected in Trump country, essentially. I mean, in Northampton County, you didn't win all the municipalities up there, but you got enough votes up there to help you propel yourself into the county executive's office. Does that feel weird?
Well, President, now look, it's a different electorate. A lot more people vote in a presidential year than vote in an odd year,
true,
right? So they're different electorates. But the fact of the matter is the president won this county by about four, almost five percentage points. And then 1 year later...
And that helped to take Pennsylvania.
Right. And then 1 year later, I won it by eight. And I'm a Democrat. And I'm identified as a partisan Democrat, even though I think I'm pretty moderate. The fact of the matter is we make our arguments to the folks, and they judge us individually. And I think I made an argument whereby I would protect the vulnerable, I would preserve green spaces, and I would keep my eye on the tax rate and try not to raise it. So I think that message really resonated with the voters. Like, this guy, he's going to try and manage our government so that children and children and youth, the elderly who are served by the Area Agency on Aging, the folks at Graysdale, the folks everywhere that we touch, folks are going to be protected, but he's going to do it in a fiscally responsible manner. And I think that resonated with the folks in Northampton County, irrespective of who they voted for president.
I might be embarrassing myself here, but I'm pretty sure you have term limits, don't you not?
We do not.
Oh, so you can be county executive until you retire.
Yeah, but I no one ever has. I don't think we've ever had a three-term elected. Now, we've been home rule since 1978, but I don't think we've ever had a three-term elected county executive before. But
you're a young guy.
One day at a time, right? I'm not taking anything for granted. I'm going to run for election in 2021 because I love this job and I love serving the people of Northampton County. But I'm taking this job one day. I want to win today. If I win today, that means the people win today. And if I win tomorrow, I know I'm working hard for our residents. And they'll reward me in 2021. So I'm not looking forward past tomorrow.
Okay. So let's talk about tomorrow. What is on your agenda for the next several months or so?
Well, we had a tough negotiation with our RNs and social workers at Graysdale, who are represented by the steelworkers. We got it done. I can't say enough about our RNs and social workers and our LPNs and our CNAs who work at Graysdale. These are wonderful people who are providing care for our loved ones on a daily basis. And I don't want to forget about the people in housekeeping at Graysdale, the people in dietary, the people in O&M, our maintenance guys. They are all taking care of some of our most vulnerable citizens at Graysdale. But because our contract negotiations were difficult with the RNs, and Jerry Green was representing the RNs. He's a steelworker, right?
Yeah, Victaulic.
So, yeah, he goes from representing people who make steel and steel-related products to nurses. And he, unfortunately, threw the strike word around a few times. It was printed in the newspaper. And what happened when he did that was we have a census. That's the average daily number of people who are in the nursing home. And that census started to come down a little bit because people thought they were actually on strike. So I'm here tonight to tell you they were never on strike. They were there all the time. They have a contract now for the next 3 years. So we've got everybody there under contract. There won't be any strikes. There wasn't a strike. And if you're thinking about, if you're in a hospital and you're thinking about taking your loved one or referring a loved one or referring a patient that's in your hospital, Graysdale is there and open to take care of them, and we're fully staffed and we're moving forward into the future, and have no fear, Graysdale's going to get even better.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. We're running out of time. We've got a few minutes left. And this is a subject I probably should have introduced sooner. I'll give it a little bit more time. We have a race problem I don't understand why. I don't understand racism. I don't understand why somebody makes judgments about somebody just by the way they look. And so why color? Why not eye color? Why not hair on your head? Why not height? You know, is this an issue that you feel needs the attention of the county executive, or is it, you know, is it left for, you know, I mean, I don't know what to do with it. We're working on a conversation, on having a conversation on race with the hope of developing a 5-year plan for inclusion and diversity. And we're hoping that everybody will get on board to try to look for ways that we can mitigate the effects of race and racism. Where are you on that issue?
Well, I mean, first of all, I have lived my life with a credo of non-discrimination. I don't discriminate based on any characteristic you were born with. It's just not right. It's not morally right. But with respect to what we're doing in Northampton County, I don't think we have enough people of color working in Northampton County government. So one of the things I did was instruct my Human Resources Director, Elizabeth Kelly, to work with the Bethlehem branch of the NAACP and the Eastern branch of the NAACP to try and get more minority recruits into county government. So how can I affect it? No one's going to listen to me and my opinions on race, right? I could give you a whole big speech about it, but the fact of the matter is, what can McClure do? And what McClure can do is go out and look for qualified people who happen to be black or brown or from a Latino nation and get historically, ancestrally, right, and get them in the door and get them working in Northampton County. So we're reaching out. It's difficult for us now. The last census, we were still almost 90% of Caucasians or Americans of European ancestry.
Yeah.
So it's as a pop, but even relative to the population, we do not have enough African Americans or Latino folks working in county government. So we're working on that. We're absolutely working on it.
And you can work on it and get results. We're up to the point now. We have 60% of our staff are Latino or African American. So you could steal some of our people. They're going to be pretty well trained, good people.
Congratulations.
You know? Thank you for that. All right, we're running out of time. We're really out of time. I've had a great time interviewing Lamont McClure, Northampton County's executive. He's got a lot of things going on, a lot of different places. He's on the right tracks. And I want to thank you, Lamont, for joining me tonight.
Well, thank you, and it's been great to be here at Lehigh Valley Public Radio.